Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Really great to have you listening in on this beautiful Sunday morning that God has given us. I didn't see a cloud in the sky as I was driving over to the station this morning. Looks like it's going to be just a beautiful day, and one that we surely should be thankful to God for, as we are every day, for the life that he gives us and the blessings that he showers upon us. We're so thankful for him seeing our need and sending his son to die for us so that we could live forever. We're going to glorify God today, the God who's blessed us so richly at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, and we invite you to be with us at 10 o'clock this morning. We'd love to have you. We'll be still social distancing and wearing the mask and all of that, but love to have you visit with us as we worship our God, glorify him, pray together and sing together and look into his word for a while and remember his son. These are things we'll be doing this morning at Eastside, and we'd love to have you be with us. If you can't join us there physically at the building, you can look in online. The services are live streamed on Facebook and from our website at eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. Go to that website and click on the media tab and the live streaming. Also, we'll be live streaming tonight at 5, a live stream only lesson for those who might be interested in that. So a lot of ways to come together and to study God's word together. We're excited about those opportunities at Eastside, and we invite you to be with us whenever you can be. I invite your attention this morning to Acts chapter 5. If you're at home and have your Bibles, we're going to start there. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures this morning as we think about the battle for your heart that's being waged between Satan, the forces of evil, and between them and God and his son. So there's a spiritual battle going on for your heart. Your heart is being captured by one or the other, the forces of evil or the forces of good. And in Acts chapter 5, there's an interesting story. Early on in the history of the church, there were a number of poor Christians among the saints in Jerusalem, and people who had money or had possessions, who owned lands or houses or whatever it might be. A lot of them were willing to sell those lands and houses, whatever their possessions were, and take that money and lay it at the apostles' feet so that the distribution could be made to the poor Christians. And you see that going on. You have a man by the name of Barnabas who did that, and he's mentioned in chapter 4. But you open up chapter 5, and it says that a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So the problem here is Ananias had you know, some land or something, and he sold that, and he was going to do like everybody else is doing and give that money to the apostles for the poor folks, but he kept some of it back. He acted like he'd given it all, but he kept some of it back for himself. And it wasn't wrong necessarily to do that, to keep it back for himself, but what was wrong was pretending like he was giving it all like everybody else had. And so Peter confronts him about that in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. And listen to what he says. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Ananias had a heart problem. And the problem was that, as the text says, Satan had filled Ananias' heart. Happens to a lot of people. Satan puts ideas in our hearts. He uses the world around us to influence us to do evil. It's a critical battle that we are all engaged in. There's this war that's being waged for your heart, and Satan is trying to fill your heart with darkness. He stands ready to shovel the world into your heart like coal being shoveled into an old steam engine. That's exactly how Satan is operating in this world. And I think that we need to understand the importance of this battle, the reality of this battle that's going on in the spiritual realm all of the time, where Satan and his forces are trying to lead us into a world of darkness and to cover our hearts with darkness and evil. You know, the condition of your heart is such an important thing. It will among other things, determine who you are. You know, you're actually the person who you are in your heart. Now, that's going to come out in the way you behave and the way you talk in lots of ways, but the person that you actually are is the person that you are in your heart. The wise man says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 19, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. What's in your heart that reveals who you are? We look in a reflection like maybe water, or nowadays, of course, a mirror or something like that. We see who we are physically, but our heart reflects who we truly are. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is in your heart, that's what's going to come out, and that is who you truly are. And so again, the wise man in Proverbs 4 and verse 23 tells us to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So it's critical for so much of who we are is going to be determined by what we allow into our hearts, by what we focus on in our hearts. And if we want to be the people that God wants us to be, and I think ultimately the people that we ourselves want to be, we're going to have to guard our hearts. So we have to keep our heart with all diligence. And as we said, the world, Satan has sway in the world, and he's trying with all of his might to fill our hearts with darkness and get us to think and do and say evil things. Let's keep our hearts with diligence. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Our heart guides our thoughts and our actions. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile a man. Jesus, of course, is right on target as to what man's problems are, where they emanate from. They come out of the heart. If we're thinking bad things, it's because we've got bad things in our hearts. If we're committing sexual sins like adultery or fornication, that's because we've got bad things in our hearts. When somebody murders someone else, that doesn't happen by accident. They have something in their heart that's evil, something like hatred and malice. When people steal and covet, practice wickedness and deceit, all of those things are heart problems. All of these things, Jesus says, come from within and defile a man. And whatever's within us, whatever's within our hearts, will determine our eternal destinies. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I want us all to see the critical nature of what we're talking about. We have to keep our hearts right. We have to guard them. We can't let Satan take over our hearts. We can't let Satan plant evil seeds in our hearts, something that he's trying all the time to do, as we'll talk about in just a minute. But our hearts must be pure if we're going to see God. And so that means fighting this fight against Satan's influences. And as we'll see, maybe toward the end of our time together this morning, we'll talk about how to purify the heart through obedience to the gospel. But right now, I want you to understand how Satan is working on us. And in the culture in which we live, where he can use so many different tools to get at us and into our hearts. We're being bombarded with information all the time, from what's on television to what's on our phones to what's on the internet, what's on radio as far as that goes. You know, we're being bombarded with things, and Satan has influenced a lot of those things. And those things can cause our hearts to become very dark and ultimately controlled by him. So I want to talk now for a little bit about what Satan tries to put into your heart, and a little bit about how he works to do that. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, the Apostle John said that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. He says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Later on, John will say in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 that the world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So all the stuff that's in the world lies under Satan's sway. It's his domain. talking about the spiritual world of evil is what we're talking about. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So people desire things in a bad way, fleshly things that satisfy their appetites and their physical needs. They look at things that they want. They have pride, and they lift themselves up above others and oppress others in various different ways. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's what's in the world. And Satan uses all of that to try to get at us. Those are the things he tempted Eve with in the garden. Those are the things he tempted Jesus with when after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Those are the things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that he tries to use against us even today. The Bible warns us about lusting for things that Satan puts in front of us and fulfilling lusts in ways that are not in accord with the law of God. Something that's related to lust is covetousness, a desire for material things, for what others have, especially in the way of money and property and other material things. In James chapter 4, James writes to some people had some real spiritual problems who had been greatly influenced by Satan in their hearts. And he begins with a question, James chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" So you know, what's the problem, folks? How come you're fighting and not getting along and your lives are miserable? That's what he's asking them. He says, well, the problem is your desire for pleasure, that war among you. He says, going on in verse 2, he says, "You lust and you do not have, you murder, you covet, you cannot obtain, you fight in war." So people are at one another's throats, not getting along, fighting with one another all the time, either with words or, you know, in physical ways. And the reason is that they want one another's stuff. They're materialistic. They're materially minded. The writer James goes on to say in chapter 4 and verse 4, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" Enmity is hostility. When your desires are for the things of the world, for the material things of the world, and that's what's eating up your life, you're going to have a pretty miserable life for one thing, but you're also going to be at odds with God. Enmity is hostility. That friendship with the world, we're talking about the world of evil, the world that Satan holds sway over, the world of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When those things are what attract us and what fills our hearts, we're going to be at odds with God. The lust of the flesh, friendship with the world, is enmity with God. That's what James is teaching us. So Satan tries to get at us through these lusts that are in the world, through materialism, through something like envy. In James chapter 3, James had earlier said in verse 15 that this wisdom that some people had did not come from above. It was an earthly, unspiritual, devilish wisdom. He says in verse 16, "Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Well, envy is something that resides in people's hearts, right? So we have a lot of problems with envy today in our society. One group of society is envious of another. They think that, you know, one group is being privileged over another, or they want the things that other people have. And so we have class envy in our world today, where those who are poor envy those who are rich, those who are, bound to work in difficult jobs envy those who have easier jobs, and, you know, just on down the line, those who live in poor sections of town envy those who live in nicer sections of town, and you have this envy all the time that is just fomenting in our society, and Satan is putting it in people's hearts, and hatred is coming out, and their hearts are just overtaken with this, with this problem of envy. So you have lust, you have covetousness, you have envy. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 17, "Do not let your heart envy sinners. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Respect God, respect His wishes. Don't let your heart envy, especially those that are doing wrong." You know, and this is an odd thing, isn't it, in our culture today, that we have this societal envy that's occurring, especially between classes, sometimes even between races. And we have this societal envy that's going on both sides, really, at times. And the thing is, we don't see that Satan is using that to harm us. It's not making things better. The way the things that we're envying that people have, we think that we don't have or accomplish that we haven't accomplished or get to be privileged to do that we don't get to do. The things that we're envying are often accomplished by sinful behavior. So why are we envying that? You know, what's in our hearts that is causing us to do that? Satan has put all of that there. And so you have all of these things that Satan is using to get into our hearts: the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the covetousness of material things, envy of others. And then all of that leads to anger. And when Satan can get us to be angry, he's really got control of us at that point. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, the Bible says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." When we are angry, maybe because of something we don't have, maybe because of the way somebody's treated us, maybe because we're envious of someone, when we're angry, we give place to the devil. And the devil has free reign to work in our hearts when we're angry. Be angry, but do not sin. Guard your heart from sinful behavior when you're angry. Well, how does Satan get all of this stuff within us? You know, is he just zap us with it? Does he, you know, control our minds? How does he do that? Well, he doesn't have to zap us with it. He doesn't have to control our minds. All he has to do is show us the things of the world and have those things bombard us all the time. As we said, that's what's happening, right, in our culture. We're all the time getting messages from whatever media source you're talking about, whatever entertainment source you're talking about, all the time, things that, you know, Satan is showing us, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and that we need to be coveting and envying and making us angry and all of those things. But Satan uses idleness quite a bit when people have a lot of spare time and they don't have anything else to do but think bad thoughts. As far as, you know, what they think, that's all they have to do. And so that's what they'll do. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul talks about those who learn to be idle and they turned aside to Satan. Okay, so they found ways of living a life without actually doing anything, accomplishing anything. They're not working, they're just idle. And so a lot of bad thoughts come into their heads and they've turned aside to Satan as a result of that. Satan will influence us through idleness. As it has been said long ago, idle hands are a devil's workshop. You know, he'll use idleness to influence us to come up with things to do that are not in accord with the will of God. He uses sights and sounds that are all around us. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, Jesus had said, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" You know, the lamp of the body is the eye, the things that you look at, the things that you focus on. If you're looking and focusing on good things, your body's going to be full of light. But if you're looking and focusing on a lot that's in the world today, your body's not going to be full of light. It's going to be full of darkness. Satan shows you the things of darkness, and then your inner man becomes dark. Your heart becomes dark. Whatever comes with we let in us is what's going to come out of us. Whatever we let in us is going to influence who we are in our hearts, and that's going to come out of us. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 34, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're in a battle, and Satan is trying to fill our hearts with darkness. His forces are formidable. And his tactics are very sly and successful at times. So how are we going to fight this battle? How are we going to keep our hearts pure? How are we going to prevent Satan from taking over our hearts with all that he has, all of the forces and in this world that he has at his disposal? Have you ever seen pictures of the Great Wall of China? Maybe some of you have visited the Great Wall of China. The Chinese, you may know, built this tremendous wall to keep out the enemy. But over the years, the wall didn't really work. Much of the wall still stands, but China has been invaded numerous times over the centuries. People got past the wall. The enemy would get through anyway, no matter how, you know, the enemy didn't get through by tearing down the wall. It was way too big and large to be destroyed. They got through by finding a gatekeeper that they could bribe. So they bribed the gatekeeper and they walked right in. And that's what Satan does with us. He wants to pass through into our lives. He wants to get past our defenses and get into our hearts. He can't get in unless we open up the gate to our heart for him. So what are we saying this means as far as guarding our hearts from his attacks and from his influence? What can we do? Well, we noticed a minute ago that one of the ways Satan gets into us is through what we watch, what our eyes focus on, and as a result, what we think about. In Psalm 101 in verse 2, the psalmist says, "I will behave wisely and walk in a perfect way." He says, "When will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness." And so he's determining that he's not going to have a perverse heart. He's not going to let Satan get control of his heart. How's he going to prevent that? Well, the one thing he says, I'm going to control what I look at. All right. We have opportunities in our culture today to look at more stuff than, you know, any generation ever in the history of mankind. We can look at, you know, television, what's going on in our phones, entertainment all around us, movies and whatever it might be. You know, you can just see anything and it's available. Anything in the world practically to look at is available almost instantaneously to us. Through the technology that we have nowadays. Well, just because it's available doesn't mean you should look at it. Just because somebody wrote it doesn't mean you should read it. You know, just because somebody produced it doesn't mean you should listen to it or watch it. We need to be cautious about the kinds of things we allow into our hearts. The more, you know, people, for many years, people have worried about, well, what are video games doing to our kids? Well, that's a good question, but what are the articles that we read and the movies that we watch and the shows that we watch and the radio programs we listen to, as far as that goes, what are those things doing to our hearts, right? That's what we need to be concerned about. But be sure that Satan will use anything to get to your hearts. And if it's something that has Satan's influence in it, we need to be really cautious about what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what we're focusing on in our hearts. Jesus said, also in Mark 4 and verse 24, to take heed what you hear. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 36, then, as he offers basically a prayer to God, he says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." You see what that prayer is? We need to be praying that prayer. Incline, God, incline my heart to your testimonies, to your word. I want to be thinking about God's word and what he wants me to do in my life and how I can please him and how I can serve others. I don't want to be thinking all the time about how I can get more. He says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. We're living in a world that is eaten up with covetousness. Everybody has to have what everybody else has. We think it's, you know, some kind of moral outrage because not everybody has what everybody else has. And that's just covetousness gone to seed. This gambling business that's come up in our state recently, apparently the legislature is in the works of making it so gambling is going to be legal in Alabama if the people vote on it and approve it. And covetousness gambling is just covetousness gone to seed. Everybody's got to have money. Everybody wants what everybody else has. Satan is working on us. He's working on us hard. We need to understand that. we need to be careful, incline our hearts to God's word and not to covetousness, and turn our eyes away from looking at worthless things. That's what the psalmist says, Psalm 119 and verse 37. So let's be careful what we watch, what we listen to, what we focus on. Be careful about who and what you admire, because that's going to influence your heart. Psalm 141 and verse 4, the psalmist says, "Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it shall be excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked." What the psalmist is saying is that he does not want to do anything evil. He does not want his heart to be inclined to do anything evil. And so he doesn't appreciate wicked men. They're not, you know, high on his list of who's who, so to speak. Those who practice the works of wickedness, he doesn't want to go along with them. He doesn't want to participate with them. He doesn't want to enjoy the things that they enjoy. He says, "Let me not eat of their delicacies." I'm afraid we're living in a world where the people that most Americans admire are people who are, at the core of it, maybe not good people. We admire famous stars and in music and entertainment and other folks, and I'm sure some of them may be fine folks, but a lot of them have some real problems spiritually. And we need to understand that who the world admires may not be somebody that we need to admire if we're going to keep our hearts right. It concerns me, and it should concern all of us. God's word can keep our hearts. And that's what the psalmist is saying there in Psalm 141. God's word can protect our hearts from these evil influences. And that's why it's so important that we focus on God's word. Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." The word of God in our hearts, that's the greatest protection of all against the influences of Satan. If we can keep God's word in our hearts and focus on it and let it transform us. In Psalm 119 and verse 112, "I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end." It's the heart that the psalmist is focusing on, and we should too. In Psalm 51 and verse 10, David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Isn't that what we all want? We want a clean heart. And the great news is the news of the gospel, that no matter how our heart may be defiled and no matter how Satan has darkened our heart, we can have it purified and enlightened with the love of God and the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. When Peter wrote to some Christians in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, he says to them, "You have purified your souls in obeying the truth." We purified our souls in obeying the truth. That's how to get a pure heart. In Acts 26 and verse 18, Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, was sent, Jesus said, to the Gentiles to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's what the gospel does. It turns us from the power of Satan to the power of God. Won't you let God have sway in your life by learning his word and obeying it? That's our plea here on The Way That Leads to Life. Thank you for tuning in this week. Tune again next week for The Way That Leads to Life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama.